for a text this morning. I'd like to read from the first book of Thessalonians, and reading chapter 5, and beginning with the first verse, and reading through, I believe it's the 11th, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, the first verse, and reading through the 11th verse, and reading the words in Jesus' name. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would speak to us, that, Father, that the words that you would give would strengthen our hearts and would uplift us. For, Father, these words indeed are truth. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The latter part of the fourth chapter, it's actually beginning with verse 13, speaks of the children of God and how heaven is arranged. There was a kind of disagreement going on at that time about who was going to go first into heaven. Are we all going to go together? There just was a lot of discussion about it, as we know can happen. But the Apostle Paul here, he's trying to get them all straight on this. And he says, concerning them which are asleep and you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And he goes on, and then down, he says that for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, which are dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him, or be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So here the Apostle Paul is telling them that the dead will rise first. Those are the first ones to go up. And then we who are alive, or those of us who are alive, will arise next. When in that 16th verse it says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel. For us, we're thinking, okay, somebody hollers, most of us have hollered for somebody somewhere along the line. Sometimes we've got to do it two or three times before they hear us, depending on the background noise. And my hearing, you got to holler a dozen times. But the point is that when Jesus comes, he's not going to have to holler twice. He's not going to have to. The noise or the thunder or the shouting or whatever descriptive word you want to put onto it will be immediately known. And those who believe and those who trust in him will rise with him. And it's going to be an immediate thing, according to Scripture. It's not going to be something that, well, we're going to kind of hang around here and mill around and wait for him to come and get us. No. We're going to be going and rising into the air and to be with him and to be with him forever. And those who do not know him and do not understand him or do not understand what he has done, then they shall be left here. I was reading a newsletter from New York Mills, and it was talking about in the seventh chapter of Revelations, where he talks about the great multitudes that will be before God, that the numbers of people that will be there would just be uncountable. That the things that he spoke of were such that he talked about the saints. Notice the first part of November is when All Saints Day is commemorated, and this was the reason for the article. It was Pastor Nick Candle that wrote it. And I come to realize, I've thought of this before, that when you think about the saints, okay, you think about somebody like the Apostle Paul or Peter or John. You think about somebody who we would describe as being great in Scripture. But that's not what it means. That's not what it means at all. When you read that seventh chapter of Revelations, it talks about the multitudes of people that are going to be standing before God and singing praises to his name. They are the saints. And it talks about an elder goes up to John and he said, "Who are these people?" And John looks at him and he says, "You know who they are." In other words, why are you asking me? You know who they are. And the elder said, "These are the ones that came through great tribulation." Well, as humans, okay, we think of this great tribulation. Okay, we think of Roman times where they literally would take Christians and they would put them in a vat of oil, set them on fire, set them up on a pole, and that would be their streetlights. That's how things were done back then. Can you imagine that? That is great tribulation. But no, that's not what Scripture is talking about. When that elder said that these are those who have gone through the great tribulation, he's talking about us. This road that you're walking today, the road that you're on right now, walking on that road and trying to do what is best and obey God, is it easy? Is it something that you can just walk, go along, just kind of singing a tune and just not having any issues? Of course it's not. Satan is there constantly trying to trip us up. He's there constantly trying to make us stumble and fall. He's constantly trying to lead us away from God. This is what's spoken of. When it speaks of that in Revelations, this is the great tribulation. To have to live and continue to sing praises to God even while those around you are trying to lead you away. The temptations that we have to endure at times sometimes can be overpowering or overwhelming. And our only hope is to turn to God and pray for his strength and guidance. At times it doesn't come immediately, because he knows, indeed knows, how much we can do. And he knows how much we can stand. But there are times when he says, okay, that's enough, and it stops. and with tears we can praise and thank God for what he has done for us. With tears we can praise him and thank him that he has watched over us and kept us from getting to the point where we just cannot walk and we cannot continue on. So as we continue in this chapter 5, he says, but at the times and the seasons, brethren, you don't really need to know them. You have no need that I write unto you. You know what's going to happen. It's all written here in this book. And you have been taught that. And we have told you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. This is an expression that we have heard how many times? I know I've heard it a lot. And it's a warning to us. It's a warning. There was an earthquake up on the border of Nevada and California this last week. I think it was a 7 point or 6 point or something. It was a pretty good size anyway. You think there was any warning? No. It happened immediately. And all of a sudden you feel, I've been through them before. Not real severe ones, but bad enough that you're looking around and everything's moving around underneath your feet. And what's going on here? And if anybody would look at me and tell me that they weren't scared at that particular moment, I'd have a hard time believing them. I heard a guy talking about the one they had up in Alaska here a number of years ago where the roads broke open and everything. And they said the trees were actually swaying 20 feet side to side because the ground was just moving. Some of them tipped over, some of them didn't. Can you tell me that you wouldn't be scared at that time? But it came suddenly. And even as it says here, the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The Lord will come suddenly when you're least expecting it. And that's why we have to live according to what Scripture tells us. We have to live as a saint. And to do that, we must continue to trust in God and what he has done for us. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. When that baby is about to be born, he lets you know quick. Obviously, it's never happened to me, but to you ladies, it's not something that there's a lot of warning on. And it happens pretty fast. And it comes upon and they shall not escape. There's not going to be any running away from it. There's not going to be any going and hiding in a cave and saying, okay, well, I'm safe now because the Lord can't see me. Yes, he can. Martin Luther said that in a thing that I read one time, that he said, if the Lord wants me, he knows where to find me. And that's the way it is. God will find us. We can't hide from him. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that you should be overtaken as a thief. We shouldn't be. And if we are, we need to study. We're not in darkness. We know what our reward will be because of our faith in Christ. We know exactly what will happen to us because of our faith in Christ, because God has promised it. God has given to us the promises that I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I will always be with you, and I will guide and keep you. Jesus says in John, he said that in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's a promise that we can take to heart. That's a promise that we can take and never let go of, because he has indeed overcome the world. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day, and you are not of the night nor of darkness. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the believers in Thessalonica. but he's also speaking to us. Right now, here, today, he's speaking to us. We are children of the light. We are children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. We experienced here a few weeks ago all this rioting and looting and all that stuff that went on. When did it happen? It didn't happen during the day. It happened at night. When you were a kid, and I point to myself, but I don't think I'm that much different than the rest of us, and things went on that probably we shouldn't have been a partaker of. Was it during the day or during the night? I remember my dad told me 1 year ago, nothing good ever happens after midnight. And this was regards to me wanting to have a longer curfew, but that didn't work. But it's true. It's true. The things that are happening at night are happening because the ones that are doing them don't want anybody to see them. But what they don't understand and what they don't realize is that God sees everything. He sees it all. And there will be no running away from it. There will be no, well, I'll hide around this corner and he'll walk on by and forget about me. No, it's not going to happen that way. We are children of the day. We are not of the night nor darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, this term sleep, when it talks about here, it's talking about literal sleep. Back in the fourth chapter, when they talked about those being asleep, they were talking about those being dead. But that's not what it's talking about here. Don't let us sleep as do others. In other words, don't let us get to the point where we're just kind of going along and really not practicing our faith. The parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And the foolish ones, when the bridegroom came, went and asked for the oil for their lamps. And the wise ones said, not so, because we may not have enough for ourselves. Go and buy from those who sell it. It was too late. They went and bought, came back, knocked on the door. That door would not open to them. Don't sleep. Don't get to the point in your faith where things of this life or the world become so involved that you begin to walk in such a way that you're not really being quite as good as you should be. And not that you can do it of your own. That's not what I'm even suggesting. But that we're walking according to God's will. And according to what he would have us do. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Here it talks about the armor of God, which is recorded in Ephesians. But that breastplate of faith is the protection, because it is the faith that protects us. The faith in Christ leads us, and Christ works through that faith so that he leads us on that path that would lead to him. And the helmet for the hope of salvation. That term hope is used throughout Scripture. Regardless of really what translation you want to use, it uses the same word. It uses that word hope. And to the uninformed, I guess you could call it, That term hope just really doesn't mean the same as what we recognize it to mean. That term hope actually means confidence. So we could reread that and say the confidence for an helmet, the confidence of salvation. Because we are confident. Why? Because it's what God has promised. We are confident that through His word and by His grace, we can have that confidence knowing that one day we will be with Him. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want to do things to us in an angry way. He does not want us to have to go through what the children of Israel went through and wandered around in the desert for 40 years. And they had to get hungry and then pray to them, and then they had to be fed manna from heaven. He doesn't want that for us. We are not the children of wrath. But He wants us to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, or by the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to obtain it. He's not sitting there and saying, okay, I'm going to give them the choice, and here it is, here's this one and here's that one. He wants us to choose the right thing. He doesn't want us to stray and wander off. He wants us to choose life, if you will. He wants us to choose salvation. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Whether we're awake and wandering and doing our jobs, or whether we're sleeping, we still trust in what He has done for us. And that we should live together with Him. Can we say that those of us that are even gathered here this morning, those of us who are in churches throughout this land that are worshiping God, can we even go so far as to say that we are with Christ right at this moment? I think we can. Why? Because it is Him that we are trusting in. It is Him that we are glorifying because of what He has done for us. And then in the last verse, and this, now take note, verse 11 of this chapter, and verse 18 of the fourth chapter. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. That is so important. That is so important, to be concerned for one another. To be able to go to one another and to talk. Hey, I was reading this the other day. Let's talk about this. Not maybe necessarily having a problem with it, but discuss it. Discuss Scripture. And talk about what it says. And in the talking, it's an uplifting for each of us. In talking, it's something that we can draw strength from. And give us an opportunity to walk a little bit longer on this life, on this path that God has prepared for us. Comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Build each other up. Have that care and concern for each other, that when something happens, be right there to call them on the phone or go up and talk to them or say, hey, I heard this is going on, and if you'd ever need anybody to talk to, or if you want to talk about it now, I'm here. And sometimes it's all it takes to help give you the strength and the encouragement to continue. Because sometimes that road can get to be pretty tough. Sometimes that road can get to be awful rocky and awful hard when you're trying to do it by yourself. Edify one another, even as also you do. And we do. I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen. But sometimes, like when we're going through what we're going through now, it's a little difficult to get together and talk. We've got the phone, we've got the internet, we've got Facebook, we've got all these different things. But there really isn't anything like being face-to-face and being able to communicate. There are times where we just can't, and I understand that. But the fellowship that we have with one another is so important. Scripture speaks countless times of having fellowship with one another. It might use terms that may not exactly spell out the word fellowship, but it means the same thing. And basically, fellowship is having a concern for one another and saying and recognizing that, hey, things don't seem to be going real well. And you do it with love and compassion. And that hopefully one day we can all be able to get together and fill these pews back up again. I mentioned this before. This right here, this is the most important thing in a Christian's life. Because that's where the start of the journey was. That's where our salvation started, right here. Because our sins were taken there, and they were hung by an innocent person. And he took them upon himself, completely innocent. And they started there, and he continued on. And he died. He bled away his blood, and he died. He went into hell, and he left those sins there, and he overcame death, hell, and the devil. And he walks amongst us today through his Holy Spirit. And this is what the world needs to hear. It doesn't need to hear this feel-good sermons. I'm okay, you're okay. The world does not need to hear claim it, name it, and claim it, which is something else that goes on in this world today. What they need to hear is there is salvation and eternal life through Christ Jesus. And when they hear that, and if they obtain it, then as Scripture says that we have gained a brother, may he add his blessings to these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, God. We ask that you would give us and provide us with the strength to proclaim your message, and so that those who would hear would be at least their interest would be piqued, and that they would be able to pursue and maybe even investigate a little more. We do not know what the feelings are. We do not know how they're affected. But Father, we leave that up to you. We ask that you would continue to walk with us and guide us. Now we ask that you would bless us and keep us. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.